Thanks for tuning in to Facilitating the Mission. This is part 3 of our interview with Paul Huckstra. As in parts 1 and 2, Paul mesmerizes us with God stories that happen around the distribution of the talking Bible. If you're just now tuning in, you'll definitely want to catch up by listening to parts 1 and 2.
What do you say to those, and I know that I know some of these personally, so I'm not just fabricating this, but those that say, hey, you know, everything's digital now, it's Wi-Fi all over the planet, people have a phone, you know, out in the hinterlands of wherever, and they can just listen to audio scriptures, you know, downloading it from the internet. What do you say to that?
I think we're headed in that direction. I don't think that's a reality in a lot of the world.
Right.
I just spent a few months in Hungary, mm-hmm. and I know that my cell phone internet, you know, technology receptivity really varied. I mean, I could be on 3 feet, you know, and, mm-hmm. and in India, you know, their cell phones, but my friends have 4 SIM cards in their cell phones because coverage is very spotty. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes if you're not very wealthy and you have a phone and you're buying digital data plans to listen to a Bible, the motivation might not be there if mm-hmm. you're not a Christian, and mm-hmm. we're trying to reach illiterate non-Christians as right. well as equipping illiterate Christians. Plus, there are many locations in the world where there just simply isn't the data plans aren't there. They're not available.
Right.
But it's coming. That's changing. Hey,
a couple of things is that, yeah, I'm totally tracking with Paul is that, and I'm sure you know this, Jeff, so forgive me, but our listeners don't realize that in the land of unlimited plans, everywhere else on the planet, you're pay as you go.
Right.
For the data that you use on your phone, on your computer, even if you have Wi-Fi, you know, how much you use is measured and you're charged by how much you use, how much you download.
That's a really good point.
And so having something that you can hold in your hand, it's yours. And secondly, I love the YouVersion Bible app. I love it. I use it every single day. And when I miss it, I like to listen to the audio while I run. Well, I'll tell you what, here in New Hampshire and in the summer when all the trees have all their leaves in, I don't have self-service everywhere on my run. And so my Bible cuts out. I have to change the tracks that I have actually downloaded onto my phone. And so the idea that Wi-Fi is everywhere, it's not everywhere. I think we're a long way from there, and that this technology has a real niche. It has a niche that, you know, the idea that you can't play anything else on it. The packaging is awesome. And the fact that, you know, you don't have to be linked to Wi-Fi. I mean, that story of the fisherman being out there on the fishing right. boat is case in point. In, you know, this planet's covered by 75% water. So there's tons and tons of people out there making a living on that water.
That's right.
Man, if you just focused on fishermen, you know, with this, you know.
There you go. That's a good idea.
I mean,
there's 12,000 villages up and down the east coast of India alone.
Yeah.
Just fishing villages.
And the cool thing is, I mean, you know, you're not looking at it right now, Paul, like I, or I mean, Brian, like I am, but it's got a built-in solar panel. So, you know.
Yeah, I did. I actually oh, okay. am. I'm looking at it. I'm flipping it around on the website. Okay. There's a picture of it with, you know, all the different views of it. Looks like there's a USB port. Can I ask a little bit about the technology?
Sure.
So what is this? Is this an MP3 that's
on
there?
It is MP3, but it's encoded. We encrypt the audio so that it can't be offloaded or copied. Copyright holders, the guys who publish the Bibles, get pretty uptight about, you know, uh-huh. copies that are made illegitimately. So we uh-huh. You can't unload it. And you can't accidentally erase it or put other material on it. So it's secure.
Okay.
It's encrypted.
So the okay.
But the sound quality is great.
So it's free to hand out, but it's not free. I mean, you guys are being charged, and somebody yes. is somebody getting paid a royalty for the version that's on there?
Yes, but that varies from country to country and copyright holder to copyright holder. Some are very uh-huh. strict. Some are very generous.
Now, I mean, I think that I think that's a great. I mean, that might be a totally nerdy question or topic, but I think it's very necessary to understand mm-hmm. that, especially, you know, there may be, you know, we'll put a link to your website so that if anybody wants to get involved, financially with you guys, you know, they're able to do that. But having that understanding and knowing that, hey, it takes capital to make these and distribute them. And, you know, you guys may be working on a shoestring budget, but bottom line is it takes money to do this, and people need to get paid to make it happen.
What's really cool, Brian, is that we're making them in China, and we ship them from China to India. We ship them from China to Uganda, from China to Ethiopia, from China to America. We're starting to ship direct right out of China into the recipient countries, which is fantastic. But that, you know,
That is fantastic, because, you know, the Chinese are shipping goods everywhere on the planet. And you mentioned Uganda. I mean, I've been in the most remote marketplaces in Uganda, in the bush, on the edge of the planet, and it's filled with Chinese
stuff,
Chinese items, you know. So it's brilliant to piggyback on that with this ministry tool.
Yeah, it saves a lot of logistic stuff too, because we don't have to bring them to the States. We can program them right in India into the local languages. But it does bring up that cost issue of, you know, import duties. There's some countries that charge duty and some don't. South Sudan is free. They let us bring thousands of Talking Bibles in there without charging a penny. Uganda, last year we were able to get a number of units, I think 500 or 600, without paying duty. Ethiopia charges very high duty. India charges duty, you know, and America, we only pay like 0.5% or something. It's not very high. Could bring them in here. But it's quite a logistic, you know, getting the material to flow and then getting them programmed and then out to the village. We people say, well, can't you make that thing for $5 or $6? Fact of the matter is you can probably do that, but we've upgraded the components in the Talking Bible, because once they get up a river, like in South Sudan, and they get into a village and they start to play, they need to continue to play. They can't break down in a month or 2 months or a year. They've got to hold up under the conditions, the harsh conditions under which they're expected. And I have been in India, you know, along the sea, the fishing villages, that's sand and salt. And I've seen some of the Bibles where we were trying to make a very cheap unit. Some years ago, we made very expensive ones. We over-engineered them, and everybody, you know, we got a lot of pushback. So we went the opposite, swung the pendulum completely the other way, made the lowest, cheapest little units we could make, put those out there. And oh boy, failure rates went through the roof. And so we kind of brought it back, redesigned it up in the Bay Area, up here in San Francisco. We had an engineer redesign the whole board and everything. And then we took that to China, and we told the guy we need a reliable machine. And so it's costing a little bit more, but I think in the long run, it pays off, because the machine will continue to play for years and years and years.
Can you share what it costs to make just one of those?
It costs us about $23 to produce one in China.
Wow.
We add a little bit of extra because we have overhead and tooling and things like that, but for us to place them in the village and follow up with the pastors and provide all the logistic support and everything, we ask for about $50 a unit to place them. That's about our cost in the end.
And that actually gets them to the village.
That gets them in the hands of a native.
Yeah, when you talk about the distribution, that's kind of how my brain works is, you know, what's it cost to put it in the end user's hand?
It averages about $50. Yeah, it's different from country to country, but we're kind of working broad-based now, so we try to average those costs out.
And so Amazon isn't delivering these by drone
yet, but, you know, you were talking about the internet. We do have a kind of a derivative ministry. We put all of our recordings up on the internet for free Bible listening, and there are maybe 1,100 people daily who access those recordings in places like Saudi Arabia, which is a pretty close country, but we have a lot of Indian nationals listening in Saudi Arabia. They're probably domestic workers. Tigrinyan is a very popular language in Saudi because of the, I think, the maids that work there. But we have a huge listenership, you know, globally, that are accessing through internet Bibles that we've recorded and that we just simply put up on the internet kind of as a passive access point for people.
Is that on your website?
It is. It's down at the bottom. Talking Listen Bibles? Listen Online or something. We can't compete with the YouVersion we don't have those resources, but we do post our materials up and people like it. We get a lot of positive feedback.
Well, does YouVersion have the number of languages you guys have?
I think
have?
They do. They have access to FCBH, Faith Comes by Hearing languages and things.
So, yeah. Okay.
And we license out languages to them to use. Not YouVersion, but to several of the other audio people.
I see. I'm just reading through the languages that are available. I see my people on here, the Slovaks.
Okay.
My grandparents are Slovak immigrants. And really? I didn't even know that they had. I thought they kind of all spoke Hungarian.
My wife's Hungarian. Jeff introduced us.
I did. She was a mission.
She's a product of the missionary movement. You know, Calvary Chapel missionaries went to Hungary and Dory became a believer, and she was the first baptized believer in that
church.
Then
she came here to go to Bible college. When I was teaching at the Bible college, she took one of my missions class. I got to know her, invited her to come down and start going to our church. And then I met Paul and match made.
Yeah.
through the Calvary Chapel Bible College out there in Marietta. Through that ministry.
Uh-huh.
All right. I've been out there. Very cool. Well, we got to put a link to them because we talked about it.
Yeah, and hey, we need to put a link. Is your dad's book
it's at the bottom of our webpage, Knotted Strings. It's there.
Okay, Knotted Strings. What about Honey, We're Going to Africa?
That's Knotted Strings is an expanded version.
Oh, that's right. Okay. It's
what is it now? Hang on. Let me make sure I find it first.
It's Knotted Strings on the right. I think it's lower right corner.
Yeah, so Knotted Strings is the includes Honey, We're Going to Africa.
Right.
Is it in Kindle form? No.
Not yet. No.
It's a great book.
Okay. Well, we'll make sure we put a link to that on there as well. Oh, so Knotted Strings is an audio situation.
Yeah. I asked my dad to read his book before he passed away. It was some years ago. So he read the whole thing. And then we used it mostly for family. But
it's available in print form on the website, right?
I don't know if it is, but I've got hard copies.
Oh, you do? Office. Okay.
And so is it on Amazon? Knotted Strings?
No, it's not. Not yet.
Oh,
no.
It's not. Honey, We're Going to Africa is there.
There may be some used copies of that there. I've seen some used copies of that. It's out of print right now.
Gotcha.
It really needs to be edited, and then I think we're going to republish it.
It should be classic missionary story.
So what's next for your ministry?
Oh, good question. I think we're just going to scale out distribution. We're focused quite heavily on India and East Africa, and we're going to keep pushing that. We've had some interesting contacts with the UN, the Mine Action Services. The guy up in Darfur contacted me, and then he said, you know, we struggle with the same things you believers struggle with, getting our message out to illiterate people. This Mine Action Service group operate in 18 countries, but they deal with unexploded ordnance bombs that have been dropped and landmines that haven't, you know, detonated and things like that. And they're trying to educate people out in Darfur area. But Abel told me, he said, you know, I bought one of these talking Bibles for my mother. She's Tigrinyan, I'm Tigrinyan. I work in Darfur with the UN. And I gave it to my mother because she just became a believer. But he said, I was very intrigued with the technology because it's a device that we can use in the UN. He said, out here with these people that I'm working with, we have a message to tell them about unexploded ordnance, and we're trying to educate them. He said, but they can't read and write, and they're nomadic. They ride camels and things. And he said, I've tried using radio, but it has a 50-mile range. You know, it's limited. And he said, my colleagues all want to, you know, just blow things up. But I'm telling him, if we educate the people on how to identify the stuff, then they get to blow stuff up more because they're all soldiers. And so he said, what my thought was is to get hold of your audio device and use it to convey our messages. And then we put together a package to try to help him. And then they were in Abidjan, and one of the ladies looked at the bottom in the back here, and she said, so we're going to be working with these people from Talking Bibles. And there were a couple of Muslims and stuff in the room, and his boss was a Muslim, and so they shot it down. But Abel keeps coming back and saying, that's the device that we need. And I realized that we're not the only people that are struggling with illiteracy and trying to get our message out to people that can't read. And this device is, quite frankly, it's dedicated, and so it can't be abused and can't be used for something else. And it's perfect for communicating with illiterate people.
What's fascinating, again, I spoke the idea that you guys have a niche It's like Bible distribution throughout church history has been on the forefront of different kinds of technology explosions.
Right.
Whether it's creating an alphabet or creating a printing press, or now even this communication device that's just got one message and it's, you know, shareable, you know, you can distribute it. You really, really have something. I think it's a hot item.
Listen to this, Brian. This is really exciting for us. In Ethiopia, there is a church called the Orthodox Church. It's the national church, and it's primarily, it's a big church. I think they claim they have 49 million members, but they're
They also have the Ark, right?
I don't know.
The Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah. But anyway, these guys, the people, it's a peasant church, right? These are farmers and field workers and stuff primarily. And so the guys who can read are the priests, and they're the ones who hold the Bible and have control of the Bible. We're releasing 3,000 talking Bibles into the Orthodox Church this year. And we're going to stand back and wait and see what happens, because the whole power structure of that church will be, it'll create a revolution. I'm sure of it. It'll be threatened. I was in Eritrea up in Asmara a few years ago, and we went out to one of these Orthodox churches, a little village, and there was a blue Orthodox church up there. And they made, I was there with the Bible Society fellow Habte, and they made him go into the church with the priest and plug the talking Bible into the public address system. There's a little earphone jack on the Bible, and they had a new PA system. So we plugged that thing in there, and then they played Matthew chapter 1. So the whole genealogy of Jesus is blaring through the valley, all the huts and the goats and chickens and all the people, the kids, the old people, everybody. It was reverberating off of the sidewalls of that canyon. And there were about 300 people out there standing around, mostly men. Then they stopped the machine after the chapter 1 of Matthew, and they went to Revelation 22, and they played that. And I looked at the guys, and they're all staring off into the distance, listening very carefully. And when Habte came out of the church, I said to him, what was the purpose of that, playing, you know, Matthew 1 and Revelation 22? And he said, oh, well, these people, he said, they want to know that the talking Bible that you're giving them is exactly the same Bible that that priest has been reading to them, because he's the only one who has a Bible and has been able to access and give, you know, read the Bible. And they want to know, if you're giving them talking Bibles, is it the same one? They had a thirst, a longing to have the same Bible that that priest was reading and would only kind of divvy out at certain times of the day or certain times of the week. And then I left there and I flew to India. And I was in it was actually a Calvary Chapel church in South in Bangalore, and it was a slum church. And the people were poor. The men were sitting on one side of the church and the women on the other, like they do. And I was able to stand in front of them and look at them and speak to them as spiritual equals and say to them, look, today I have a Bible for you. You may not have been to school. You may not have learned how to read and write, but we have a Bible. It's exactly the same Bible that your pastor is reading. And we want to entrust it to you and equip you with God's word so that you can go home and listen to the Bible and hold devotions in your own homes. It was a very powerful lesson taught to us by illiterate people. They long for the Bible that you and I have. They don't want a dumbed down version. They don't want an illiterate packaged version of the Bible. They want the same Bible that you and I have. And they're intelligent enough to understand it.
Great stuff.
Well, I spent time in Africa, Paul, one of the things that was a little frustrating is, you know, as a missionary, you go to and visit other villages and you visit other people and you visit other churches and you get stuck sitting listening to these messages from guys that really don't know their Bibles very well. Right. And or they may manipulate what the Bible says or warp it.
Right.
But the crowd that's listening, that's the only access to the scriptures they have because they're not readers.
That's right. A lot of pastors don't read very well themselves. And so they'll preach from, and it's no fault of their own. I mean, they just don't have the opportunities for education, but they'll preach from the same passage of scripture frequently from the same, very same passage over and over. I've been also, you talk about literacy development. People challenged me and said, you know, you're undermining the literacy development efforts of the world by providing these tools. It makes people lazy. I beg to differ. It shows people that reading is doable. And I've sat with groups of women in Borneo over in Sarawak in East Malaysia, where I sit there with them and they're struggling with an Ebon Bible and listening on the cassette. The pastor's there and they're struggling. They can't read and so on and so forth. A year later, I go back and they're reading those Bibles. And I say, how in the world did you learn how to read? They learned by word identification. They learned how the word looked and sounded, and they sounded it out and they memorized that. Much yeah, like right. Chinese characters, it facilitates literacy development over and over and over again. Yeah. It reinforces and helps people.
Absolutely.
I'm such a fighter. If somebody was like, you're undermining my work, I'd be like, well, you're undermining my work. You know? It's like, you're called to teach people to read. I'm called the Bible out there so, you know, people can hear God's word. Man, just get out there and get it out there in whatever way you can. Make a video.
There's one final thought, and I don't know quite how to articulate this, but I think a lot of us are afraid to release God's word because we don't believe maybe that it can do anything or that God will use it or that the Holy Spirit. So we're not, I don't know. I've been challenged by my own church members, you know, not local, but I mean, here, just church members across the states about putting illiterate Bibles out and the worth of it. You know, do people really understand what they're listening to? Can they? And yes, they can. They do. I've seen it time and time again. And so I believe that giving Bibles to people that can't read or that don't have Bibles is a very effective way of communicating the gospel. I think of a missionary that was serving in Kenya, and Jeff, you know him, Ed. Mm-hmm. Ed told me one time in an email, he said, Paul, when I get up and preach, you know, people come ambling in and they listen. He said, but when I hold a talking Bible up and it's in Kikuyu language, he said, people come running. Mm-hmm. To listen to it. But Ed said, you know, my best messages don't measure up to what God's done in his Bible and his word.
Yeah.
And I think that's really true.
That's so humble of a guy that's in the pulpit to say, I don't know, I feel a little, the stories that you're telling me of people just getting the Bible and having their lives change and having what it takes to face persecution, those things just, they rock me. And I wonder, would I personally be able to do that? Would I be able to do that? I'm afraid the answer is, I don't know what the answer is, but I think
you'd be surprised what God would do in you when the time comes.
Yeah, no, I know God does all that work, but I just, it just blows my mind.
You know, I've been hearing some strange stories, Brian, and I'll share this last one with you. It's kind of an unusual story. You might not want to put this on your podcast, but I work with a pastor up in a place called Raipur. It's in Chhattisgarh state in India, and they have anti-conversion bills. And this guy's church was destroyed by a mob of about 500 men that came and just demolished the building and then dragged him down the street with a tire around his neck and put him in jail with his wife and so on. And he's an Indian missionary that went up there from the south. But he told me, he said, you know, they gather, and I've been in their home gathering now. They gather in an underground church at night. And there was an older woman that was coming to that fellowship, and her family was really opposed to her coming. And so she would sneak out and then go to the meeting and stuff. And he said, I gave her a talking Bible, and she took it home because she couldn't come to our meetings very often. And so she took that talking Bible home and she hid it underneath the rice sacks in the house. And when the family members would go out and she was alone, she would take that Bible out and listen to it. And he said, from time to time, we would meet in the market and I was discipling her and she was growing so nicely in her faith and she was growing in the Lord and her knowledge of scripture and so on. And he said, then one day her cousin was sick in the hospital. And so she went to visit the cousin and she took her talking Bible with her. And after they met and they talked and so on, she took the talking Bible out and she turned it on. And as it started to play, this voice started coming out of her cousin's mouth, telling her to turn that off, turn it off, take it away, stop that. I can't bear this. I don't want to hear this. I can't stand it. I don't. And so on. And it was going on and on like that. And then after a period of time, it started to beg for permission to leave. May I leave? I want to get out of this place. I have to leave. Please let me go. And the woman, she didn't know what to do. So she went and she opened the window and she says her cousin quieted down and they stopped, you know, they stopped the machine and stuff and they stopped their meeting and they finished up and she went home. And the next morning, the doctors came to take that woman for surgery And they examined her and they said, you know, you've been completely healed. There's nothing wrong with you, so we don't need to perform surgery. And they sent her home. And David Raju told me, he said, Paul, this is a very bizarre experience for us because we didn't know, nobody knew of the presence of a demonic spirit in that woman's body, and simply playing the word of God in her presence drove that. No one prayed. No one asked God to do the Holy Spirit. The word of God drove that spirit from that woman's body and she was healed. I mean, it was incredible stuff. I've heard many stories like that, and they're coming now out of Ethiopia. They're coming out of Uganda and out of South Sudan. Same stories, just different characters, different players. God's at work. He's doing some powerful stuff through his word. Amen. It's incredible.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. To learn more about becoming a missionary with Shepherd Staff, go to ssmfi.org/join. Connect with us on Facebook or Twitter by searching @ShepStaff on either platform.